Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, your humble host here for the next 600 seconds or so. We might go a little longer, who knows? But welcome, welcome, whether you've been listening to the pod all along or if this is your first time listening to us, welcome in. It's May, and with that comes one of the best times to bet on basketball. The NBA playoffs in full swing. We've got some stellar second round matchups happening in the postseason. But then we've also got the tip-off of the 2024 WNBA season, which is kind of my summer love. I love betting the dub. And this could be the most anticipated season in league history. Some big, big players coming in. And to talk both NBA and WNBA betting, we're bringing in Miles Ehrlich. He's a New York-based basketball writer. He's doing some great stuff for Winsider on the WNBA. And then, as always, Aaron Waterworth, the trading manager for Bet365. He's going to come in and give us a skinny on the action behind the counter. We're going to talk NBA, NHL, WNBA, even a little Major League Baseball, which we haven't done yet. He's going to break it all down in the two-minute drill. That's going to be great at the end of the show. So before we do get going, we've got a quick ask. If you like what you're hearing each week on the Sharp 600, show us a little love and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use to take us in. It's always appreciated to get that feedback. All right, a big week of basketball coming up. Hit the music. All right, we got a hoops hurricane coming at us here this month. We got NBA playoffs in full swing, and then the 2024 WNBA season is going to tip off next week. And to help us cover every inch of the hardwood, we welcome to the Sharp 600 Miles Ehrlich. Basketball writer for Winsider, which is, I had to figure out how to name, what was the actual name? Was it W Insider or Winsider? Thank you for that note. I've wondered it for years, but thanks for coming on.
No, of course. Thanks for having me. Happy to talk hoops.
All right, let's start with the Knicks. Your Knicks, a team you know all too well. If I believe in the Knicks right now, am I better to take Jalen Brunson to win finals MVP at plus 1,100 than to take the Knicks outright to win it all at plus 900?
I like that bet a lot. With the huge caveat, like you said, that I am a huge Knicks fan. So my whole life has been waiting for this team. But I think it is still a long shot bet. I just think that there are teams on both sides of the conference that are better. But if you're going to bet that and the Knicks somehow are the team holding the trophy at the end, it's going to be because of Jalen Brunson. So yeah, if you're like, let me ride for the Knicks, might as well take that extra value there.
All right. Good to know. Timberwolves, they delivered a crushing 1-2 punch to the Denver Nuggets. But they got to wait till Friday to play game three. I'm kind of surprised by the break now. What's working for Minnesota? And do you think Denver, which is now plus 475 to come back and win this series, do you think they could figure it out?
Well, what's working for the Wolves is kind of what has been working for them all year, which is that they have the best defense in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's been on full display, even without Rudy Gobert, who just won Defensive Player of the Year in game two. But yeah, for Denver to lose both at home with one of the biggest advantages in the entire sport, that's really tough to overcome. But what has worried me the most about this team is just Jamal Murray does not look 100%. And Jokic is the best player in the league, but needs some help. So I'd stay away from that.
Yeah, for me going into the series, I looked at Anthony Edwards and saying he's the best player in the league right now. And rarely does Denver not have the best player on the floor. And that looked like a big edge. We'll look at Boston, and they just squashed Cleveland in game one. They're 13.5-point favorites for game two. The under 4.5 games for this series with the Cavs is plus 110 at Bet365. Are you buying or selling a Celtics sweep here in the second round?
The problem with these sweeps is that there's just no margin for error. But when you look at this Celtics team, they have the fourth best net rating of all time behind two of Jordan's Bulls teams and the 2016-17 Warriors. Oof. So this is a historically great team. And I also want to say that they have the best offensive net rating of all time. Sweeps are really scary, though, especially when you see these gentlemen sweeps come through. I think that the safest bet, the best value, might be just riding these really high spreads all the way through, because Boston all year long has just been running through everyone.
Yeah, and getting it from everywhere. I mean, Derek White had a big game there last night too. Oklahoma City, they held on. They had a pretty solid win over the Mavs in game one. The one knock against OKC, and it's been that all year, is that they're too young and inexperienced to actually get it done. Do you think that holds any weight? And do you see Oklahoma City having what it takes to go all the way to the NBA Finals?
I mean, we see this every year, right? That there's this young upstart team and that they need to get some experience. But I think what's cool about OKC is how much youth they have and depth from that youth. Mm-hmm. So, like, these are a bunch of young and confident players that no one could tell them no because everyone's been telling them no the entire way. So, yeah, I don't really buy that. But and to go back to that net rating thing, they're mm-hmm. number two in the league behind the Celtics. And you look at the Mavs, and they're just 15th. They're the middle of the pack. So I think that from the beginning of the year to now, OKC has just been a deeper team. And I think that that matters a lot more than how many times they've been in the situation before.
Mm-hmm. A lot of safety nets when you have those guys that can come off the bench and produce for sure. All right. The WNBA season, it's the most anticipated WNBA season ever. That starts next week. It's highlighted by Caitlin Clark's debut for the Indiana Fever. I did some Clark props earlier, bet some Clark season-long props earlier this week. I'm interested to get your take on these sort of things. So we have the over-under on her points per game at 21.9. We have the over-under on her assists per game at 6.3. An over-under on 130 total three-pointers made, which would be a league record for Caitlin Clark in her rookie season. What do you think of those three bets? Where would you go with those particular props?
So I am curious where you landed on these, but for each of them,
okay.
Over under on the points, I went under. There are only 13 players in league history that have gone over 22 points a game. Mm-hmm. And the only player to ever do it in her first season was Cynthia Cooper, which was in the first season of the WNBA. So she wasn't actually, she was a rookie by name, but she was a veteran.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that would give me pause about this is that last year was the first year that we ever had three players score over 22 in a game. Mm-hmm. Jewel Lloyd, Breanna Stewart, and Asia Wilson. But on the other hand, that's the first time that any of those three players, and Stewie's won multiple MVPs, Asia's won multiple MVPs, Jewel Lloyd led the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. It's the first time any of the three of them have scored over 22 a game. Mm-hmm. So I would stay away from that. Not because Caitlin's not fantastic, but just because this level of defense at this league,
yeah,
they set out to stop people.
In terms of assist, what do you think?
I like the over in the assists.
Yeah.
And I think that that is correlated to the under in points. She's going to be seeing so much action. And 6.3 assists is not a number that would have led the league since 2016. So there are big assist games there. So shout out to Courtney Vandersloot, Natasha Cloud, Sue Bird, who have kind of held that down. But looking at Indy last year, Erica Wheeler led the team with 5 assists a game. And she played just 27 minutes a night and held just the 5th highest usage rate on the team. So I'd assume that Caitlin averages probably 32 to 34 range. So on that volume alone and knowing the ball is going to be in her hand, mm-hmm. the opportunities are going to be there. And then you look at just the team that's set up around her. The Aaliyah Boston connection, everyone has talked about that pick and roll, that pick and pop. And we saw Caitlin in college make Monica Sinano a household name, make Hannah Stolke a household name. Mm-hmm. So with those quick entry passes. So I think that's there. But this is also a Fever team that has already showed that they want to run. Kelsey Mitchell last year was 7th in the W in fast break points, so she wants to run. Nelissa Smith, we saw the other night in their first preseason game, running the floor. Lexi mm-hmm. Hull. So I think all the opportunities are there, and I think Caitlin loves that hit-ahead pass, too.
All right. I went under on points as well, too. I just 22 points is that bar. The physicality of the league is going to be much, much different than what I saw from her in college. I went under on her assists as well, too. They're not bringing her in not to shoot the basketball, and I'm very interested in the pace that they're going to play, because last year they were a slower paced team. They didn't generate a lot of assists. I'm interested to see how they kind of switch gears with her out there. And I did go over on the three-pointers made, which just kind of seems like a trend for the league in general. So I expect a lot on the three-pointers made. We'll jump to the next question here. The NBA futures, it's basically Vegas, New York, and then everyone else. Out of those two favorites, who do you think gets it done this year? And then is there any other team out of the other 10 teams you think has a chance to win the championship?
So it's tough because I don't know that there's much value even with Vegas and New York at this mm-hmm. point. And what could be something to keep in mind is that there's a chance that Chelsea Gray, the point guard for Vegas, who missed game 4 of the finals, will start the season slowly and maybe not be ready to go at the beginning. So there's mm-hmm. a chance that Vegas could start a little slow out of the gates, and then you can find some value. Mm-hmm. But right now, last I saw, they were plus 100, and New York was plus 230, and I don't see much value there at all. The teams behind them, Seattle and Connecticut, they have a chance to maybe have cash out value, but until we see these rosters together, I think it is still a two-horse race.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I expect, much like we saw from like the Warriors during their dynasty run, the focus is not the regular season. I expect them to take some stumbles as they kind of prioritize postseason plans. New York, I think, is giving me like 2012 Miami Heat vibes, where it took a year for all those guys to figure out how to play together. This is the year for the Liberty. I actually like the Liberty here. I don't think they're going to get any lower than like plus 250, which is the high on them right now. And then in terms of anyone else, I just don't see it. That Seattle's got some chemistry stuff that has to come together. Connecticut's aging, has some injured players coming back. It's going to be New York and Vegas again in my eyes.
Being on the Liberty beat, sorry if I can.
Dive into it.
Yeah, no, that's my beat. And what I would say about New York, and this is not just because of a preseason drubbing that doesn't really matter all that much.
Yeah.
But they retooled their second unit a lot because they saw what they had to work on. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the great impulse. That was the right impulse. But all of those players have been late to arrive from overseas. So I do think there's a chance New York starts a little bit slow too, because now they have that starting five chemistry, but they're going to need to mix and match a bit and kind of figure it out in real game reps. Because the season is so tight with the Olympic break. Mm-hmm. It starts at the same time, ends at the same time, but there's a three-week break in the middle. Yeah. So I think that New York's going to be figuring out a lot of stuff on the court.
Yeah, things get hairy in that second half of the season this year, for sure. Before we let you go, let's get your best bet it can be for the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday NBA sched. And then I want to get your best NBA futures bet with the season just around the corner.
So I had to go back to the Knicks. And unfortunately, it's impossible to look at these Jalen Brunson overs anymore. It's just, he keeps on putting up these 40-point games.
Yep.
But I looked at Josh Hart, points, rebounds, assists, and that PRA was hanging at 34.5. And Josh Hart's offense has come along, but also just, not just his shot making, but the way that he gets after it on the glass. And with Mitchell Robinson going down, he's going to be playing, he plays 48 minutes already, but they're going to need to be putting him even more into crashing situations. So I think Josh Hart, hammer that over.
All right. And then for an NBA, WNBA futures.
The futures, you just said you were not that high on the Storm, but this is something that we've seen in the W is after when a team adds big in free agency, sometimes the books take a little while to catch up and to understand what's happening. And they added Neko Gumake, who's a former MVP, and Skylar Diggins-Smith, who is probably the best point guard in the league right now, to this roster. So they've got that along with Jewel Loyd, who led the league in scoring, and they're at 24.5 wins. And I took that over. I think they're going to be pushing close to 30.
Ooh, all right. I'm on the other end of this. I think it's going to be another slow start, similar to what we saw from kind of New York last year, where they had some chemistry issues. They'll figure it out kind of along the way, but I'm not as bullish. I had them kind of pegged for like 22 to 23 wins and maybe have a push towards the end of the season.
Well, New York finished 32-8 last year, right? So even with all that chemistry, they were able to figure it out. And I think the talent is there.
All right. Well, that's good stuff from Miles Ehrlich. You can follow him on X at Miles Ehrlich, and then you can read all his WNBA insights over at Winsider. Thanks so much for coming on, pal.
Thanks, Jason.
At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. You want to keep an eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply. 2 minutes real time with a guy, Aaron Waterworth, trading manager, Bet365. Second round of the NBA playoffs underway. What do the title odds look like now, and who's the biggest threat to the book?
Yeah, but Boston just kind of making that march shorter and shorter, gone slight odds on now to minus 120. Minnesota, the biggest mover, down to plus 275. It's not just the fact that they're 0-2 up on the road. It's the way they've done it. Denver now 16-1, offsetting that Minnesota move. Boston, OKC, and the Knicks are probably the worst ones you're looking at. But we've had a really good balanced action book for the NBA futures.
Okay, opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs didn't provide the usual surprises and shockers and stuff like that. How's it shape up for the NHL book in terms of liability?
Yeah, but kind of similar in that respect, only the bigger prices. Edmonton solidified as a favorite, but the Rangers have joined them there. They've obviously had two impressive wins against Carolina. Colorado, huge comeback last night. So they're down to plus 475. Dallas out to plus 650. Edmonton and Vancouver, definitely the worst for us there.
All right, baseball. So we haven't talked about baseball at all. It's been going on for like
not
a month.
Not much.
I know. But you guys are great at putting out all these alternative markets and props. And which prop and alternative markets are seeing the biggest uptick in action and attention in 2024 compared to past baseball seasons?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously team props, but a lot of it's player prop based. You know, we're always adding more. This year, the most popular ones, not a huge surprise, but player hits milestones have really gone up. Pitcher strikeouts over and under, total outs over and under. Those are the biggest pregame ones. In play, the outcome of next plate appearance, which is a five-way market, that's seen huge growth as one of the new markets we've added this year.
All right. You know I love my dub, and this is the biggest WNBA season is about to hit right now. Any estimates in terms of kind of projections around action and handle on WNBA compared to past summers?
It's really hard to put a firm estimate given the popularity of players coming in, namely Caitlin Clark. Everybody knows this. But first week of the season, I expect a big uptick, like possibly double what we've taken, say, from last year. You know, overall, you're looking at, from a futures point of view, 68%. Of the actions on the Aces, no surprise, they're still the quality of the league, followed by the Liberty. Only 6% on Indiana. Lots of Caitlin Clark action on our preseason specials we have for her, though.
Yeah, everyone's been rolling out the red carpet for Caitlin Clark, and it's going to be well-deserved.
There's a lot of good players in that league. She can bring more attention, but there's a lot of good players to watch there.
100%. All right, you gave us a big winner with the knockdown prop for Canelo on Cinco de Mayo. Pop that pinata for a plus money winner. Out of everything that's going here this week, what is your best bet?
Yeah, impressive fight from Canelo there. He kind of did what you expected. But
yeah,
Friday night, in my opinion, the most exciting player to watch in the NBA right now, Anthony Edwards. I'm taking his points and assists over 33.5. I think that line's going to move. You want to get on that early. He's been dynamic. Obviously, a huge part of that team on both ends of the floor. But I look for him to do well in the points and the assists on Friday night.
All right, steering into the skid with Ant-Man. He's having a hell of a postseason, and it's arguably the best player on the floor, which is tough to do when Nikola Jokic is
there. Fantastic player to watch. There's many in the league, but he's definitely one right now.
All right, that is a wrap on this episode of the Sharp 600 podcast, presented by Bet365. Big thank you to Miles. Big thank you to Aaron. Thanks to Dell behind the scenes. And, of course, big thank you to you for tuning in. A reminder, rate and review the podcast when you do have a moment. We appreciate that. We're going to be back next week. It's a busy spring. The schedule heats up. But until then, best of luck with your bets. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. You want to keep an eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply.